I thought the scariest part of The Shining was the font.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell on 95BFM.
Guys, not the time to joke about fonts. Working on some last-minute design things. Fonts are pretty scary when it comes down to the wire. Anyway, hey, how's it going?
It's good. It's good, actually, Steve. And yourself?
Fonts.
You're just, obviously, this time of the year for BFM is quite busy. We've got lots going on. We've got broadcasts. We've got parties. So we're just trying to get all our ducks in a row. Behind the scenes.
Yeah. Broadcast parties.
Fonts.
Ducks. It's crazy. Ducks, did you say?
Yeah, just get all
our
ducks in a row.
Did someone just say ducks over there?
Oh, right. I don't know around your house, but around my house there's a lot of ducks on the street for some reason.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
All I've got, all I've already got outside is empty NOS canisters.
Ooh. What? Where do you live?
Yeah, just around the corner. Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of safe.
It's a preload area for
no
EDM
needles?
Parties at studio. Yeah, a few swabs.
Yeah, a few needles. Yeah. I used to live next door.
Hey, anyway, I do have time to watch movies, though. Yeah. And last night I went to see M. Night Shyamalan's film Glass.
Was it good?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Pretty soon. I think we're talking about it right now.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I just want to Shyamalan it and sort of like just keep the, you know, keep the ending for the ending.
They're kind of combining a lot of movies into one movie. They're kind of summing a bunch of movies and like going, hey, you know all these characters from these different movies? Well, we're all mates. Kind of thing, eh?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. It's like...
trying to do a Marvel out of
it's
nowhere.
It's maybe like when you've got some, you know, action, one brand of action figures, and then there's another brand of action figures, and then...
It's Avengers, but not together. Different brand, eh?
Grittier characters, a bit more real.
I reckon. Yeah, a bit more real if you think that it's still a bit silly, let's face it. Yeah. Let's face it. So it's merging the universes of Unbreakable and Split, which... look, if you plan on seeing either of those films and you haven't already, just turn the radio off for a minute and come back, I reckon. Because the ending of Split's really relevant to this. Unbreakable's like decade-plus old film with Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson. It's about a guy on a train who, there's a train crash, he survives. He might have superpowers.
Does Aerosmith do the soundtrack for that? Oh, no, different movie, carry on.
And Split was a couple of years ago. James McAvoy plays a guy with dissociative identity disorder, aka has lots of split personalities. And in the last like 30 seconds of that film, it was revealed that it took place in the same universe as Unbreakable. I watched this at the 24-hour movie marathon. I think it was like the fourth or fifth film that played. And I'm not sure exactly what happened, but I think my fists went in the air. And I think I yelled, fuck yeah!
Ooh.
When that happened, as did a lot of other like nerds. Nerds. Anyway, so Glass brings us all together, and expectations are pretty high, obviously. But Split surprised people because it just had this like short ending at the end, so it didn't really integrate those films together at all. It was just like, oh, hey, check it out. This is the same thing as this other thing, and you go, that's a nice surprise, mate. But this sort of puts those three characters together for the runtime of a film. Some of it works, some of it doesn't so much. M. Night Shyamalan likes to... He's enjoying playing with the sort of conventions of superhero movies. And in particular, Samuel L. Jackson's character, he's got this operating theory that comic book heroes are just the latest artistic manifestation of a kind of breed of human that's existed throughout time. So it's the same superhuman properties that... created Greek legends and things like that, right? So it's like, oh, there's this very, very small type of very special human out there. So Shyamalan's kind of enjoying, like, just poking gently at the superhero genre, which is weird when you see Glass and you've seen a trailer before Glass, which has Samuel L. Jackson in a Marvel movie as well. So it's like, are you taking the mickey out of the thing you do, mate?
He doesn't care at all.
No, the highest grossing actor in the world does not give a flying
fuck.
Is
he the highest grossing actor in the world?
Yep. If you add up the box office of all of his films, not counting cameo appearances, the worldwide box office is something around $12 billion of Sam L. Jackson movies.
Motherfucking snakes.
Yeah.
Samuel L.
And boy, does he like sitting on that throne.
Fair enough.
Pretty chuffed.
Fair enough. Well earned.
So Glass, it's mixed. Shyamalan kind of wants to have his cake and eat it too. There's interesting things that he does. you've sort of got these expectations of the genre. Sam Jackson's character's kind of teasing those as well. Like, he's very acutely aware that there's a sort of series of mythos that go around these hero stories. So he's kind of predicting certain story beats that will happen before they happen. And Shyamalan sort of like, you know, will veer off track on some of those. And let's face it, here's a guy who likes surprising people in the end. So, you know, you kind of walk away from this with a bit of a head scratcher scenario. And you know what? It's moderately successful, but I kind of felt that it didn't go, it wasn't a completely coherent movie that was together. And it's not a film that's completely batshit crazy. It's sort of a mix of the both. And so because of that, it's kind of not totally satisfying. I would have liked to have seen it be something that was embraced its completely nuts a little bit more. Or
James McAvoy is kind of gross there. He's kind of gross.
Kind of gross?
Yeah, it's gross.
Like an IRL or?
That character.
Yeah.
It's a gross character.
Yeah, shit, he's good though.
Yep.
I mean, there's sort of times where...
Well, it's making me feel something,
You end up with these kind of... some of the stuff is gags, and there's other times the audience is kind of awkwardly laughing, watching him play... A
he's
character with sort of diminished intelligence, you know. It's kind of like, oh, you're laughing at what are you? What exactly are we laughing at here? Doesn't quite feel like this is a joke, but
it's dark. It's dark in the movie theater, isn't it?
But what he does, you know, there's it might seem like it's just kind of a bit of a laugh playing all these different characters, but he does imbue them all with a different physicality, and you know, it's real actoring. There's a couple of sequences in this where, without a cut, you see him kind of flit between like three or four different personalities, and you do go, oh yes, that's actoring.
Sure.
Actoring.
Gary.
Okay.
Hey, that's Glass. It's out tomorrow.
Okay. Awesome.
I'm gonna check it.
I'm going to catch up. I have seen Unbreakable, but I will watch the one in the middle and then check out the new one.
Yeah, I think basically there's very little point in seeing this film if you haven't seen the films that precede it. Okay. What maximum enjoyment it has rests on having seen those other films.
Really. I could be wrong, but I think a major pop star has a song called Unbreakable. Do they use that song in the movie at all?
Yeah, there's... a few things in the film that suggest that the budget wasn't enormous.
Well, that's why you use like real life superheroes. So you won't see any blue flashes or anything. Yeah, it's like real life.
Should we have some?
He's just crazy. Great. That's superpower.
Should we have some score or should we just mic the rain? Yeah, let's mic the rain.
Moody. Yeah.
Nice. Hey, thank you very much, Steve Newell.
Well, good. See you guys soon.
See ya.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95 BFM.